The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, a little bit of distress can seem like a grand canyon in our feelings, but it's not, but it feels that way, but it's not that way. And what is a better way to shrink our distress than to replace it with God's calm and comfort? What a solution. Next, Pastor Ray shares about connecting with people. He shares with us the secret sauce to making connections with people. Why is that important? Because Jesus said it is essential. And finally, prepare. Prepare for what is coming. Prepare for what is coming by seeing what is coming. What is coming? Wrong question. The right question is, who is coming? Jesus is going to make another splash on planet Earth. Prepare for it. Are we ready?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. Comes right to my dollar. What is it, $1.19? Is that what I'm saying? $1.19 Chromebook. This Chromebook is so old, it's turned into like some other kind of metal. That's how old this Chromebook is. Anyway, it comes right to my Chromebook right here on my desk. If you text us, 214-210-8483, you'll get right through also on my desk, 214-210-8483, or you can call 972-445-0770. That's when Terrific T answers the phone, so that's nice. 972-445-0770. You can do that for praise reports, prayer requests, something the Lord is working on in your life you want to share, a question you have. If we can't answer it, we'll usually do the research for it. If it's, you know, super deep theological between predestination and election, probably not going to be answered in 90 minutes since they've been debating it for 4,000 years. But what I will say to you is that you have that opportunity to do Bible trivia and things like that. Here's the big Bible trivia question for you right now. Not a tough one. That's what I'm telling you right now. Who was turned into a pillar of salt? Who was turned into a pillar of salt? Wowza. Who was turned into a pillar of salt? If you think you know the answer to that, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. If you think you've heard that trivia question before, you have. And the reason that you hear the trivia question sometimes more than once is straightforward. Ready? It's the same reason there's four Gospels. We need the help. That's just the reality, and that's how it goes. So reach out to us. We'll do our best to help you. Again, who was turned into a pillar of salt should be a pretty easy one for many people. I will remind you, as the multiple texts are coming in, and somebody's already calling in, and are they on hold? All right. Oh, they called in. Oh, they're there. And before we get there, I just want to remind you, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. I prove that on a daily basis after, you know, I think, you know, roughly about 10,000 hours on the air. I've proven I can't do anything professionally. I can just do it. Any topic, like I said, though, is available. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. That's our show. It's the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. We got somebody ready? Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ken.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call again.
Oh, my privilege. Okay. Straightforward. Not a tough question, but still important for people to recognize, especially since Jesus even mentioned this, although people forget that. Who was turned into a pillar of salt?
That would be Lot's wife.
That is correct. You are right. And if you remember in the gospel, Jesus said, remember Lot. It's like, don't forget. Don't forget. Looking backwards, bad idea when God says go this way. Right?
I think about that often. And even these times, you know, when it's time to head for the mountains, don't look back.
Yep. Exactly right. Exactly. If it's time, get going. Go forward. It's really tough walking forwards, looking backwards. It's a tough thing, right? So you got to be forward-minded.
Yeah, run into yourself sometimes doing that if you're wrong.
Yep. Great job. Excellent. I really appreciate that.
Hey, thank you for all the addition to my faith that you contribute regularly. I appreciate that, too.
My privilege. I promise you, my privilege.
Thank you.
God bless.
You too. Bye.
Bye. All right. By the way, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. So I'm confused. Oh, Jesus never mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, see the remember Lot's wife line? See, this is the kind of stuff that my brain just goes, psst. Okay. All right. Okay, now watch this. I got a couple of teachings I'm doing out of 1 Peter. Actually, quite fun. But quite helpful if we will just follow this. And ironically, in the last, not segment, but the segment before Troy called in and mentioned something about missing missionaries, this is just funny just because of what I'm about to talk about. First, well, it's not funny, but it's connecting. 1 Peter 1:7, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found as a result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, why that's kind of important, the reason that I bring that up is for you and I to kind of get a small handle on what proof of faith means. Have you ever heard the expression, and some of you have, proof of life? Proof of life. You ever heard that expression? Proof of life, I'm going to give you the exact phrase meaning. Proof of life is a phrase referring to evidence that is used to indicate the proof that a kidnapping victim is still alive. That is proof of life. Well, did you know that Christians need to have proof of faith? Evidence that our faith is still alive. Do you understand? And I'm not making light of anything. I'm not reducing anything. I'm not trying to there's no attempt there. The attempt there is for you to understand that if the proof of life is important, and it is, especially in a rescue or redemption process for somebody, and I've been involved in that in helping redeem people before, financially, pulling them out of that situation, proof of faith is also – listen to what I'm saying. Proof of faith is also a key component. Listen to this concept, Peter says, so that the proof of your faith. Now, who is God proving your faith to? I always find that question fascinating. Well, he's not proving it to him. He knows your faith. He knows the up. He knows the down. He knows when you're going to succeed. He knows when you're going to fail. Remember what Jesus said to Peter. You're going to deny me 3 times. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. I know exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it all the way. I've been with you for 3+ years. I'm your man. I'm the guy. I'm out front. And Jesus is like, you're going to deny me 3 times. No, no, no. And it's like, yes, yes, yes. And he denied him 3 times. Of course, Jesus restored him 3 times when he brought him into that conversation and said, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That was 3 times. all redeeming, all restoring. Jesus is always about restoration. But the point in that is for you and I to understand that the Lord wants, there's got to be a proof of that faith that we have, something that's genuine, that's alive, that shows that it's real and that it's true. The Lord knows it is. You need to see it. Other people need to see it. How about that? Isn't that a mind blower? Your proof of faith is for you. Your proof of faith is for others. And you want to know why it's important for you and for others? Because proof of faith for you gives you the strength to keep going. It's almost like a self-motivation. I can keep going. I can keep moving. But proof for others, the proof of your faith, is so that they can find answers in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? So you don't think of God operating in terms where he's coordinating your life so that your trial can be a witness based on how you engage with it. What if somebody told you, you know, this trial you're going to go through, people are going to be blessed from this and encouraged and strengthened, and they're going to raise up in their faith just because of how you're engaging with this trial. Wouldn't that change how your attitude is? Well, let me help you change your attitude. That's how it is. Just think of Job. He went through that trial. How many of us have been benefited by the trial that Job went through? And the difference between you and Job is nada, other than he's in the book and you're not. That's what the Lord does. Fascinating. But your proof of faith for you to encourage and to strengthen and to empower you in your position, and for others to see the power of faith in action. Proof of faith. Love it. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. But I want to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this: against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not an impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment, God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about, so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing, it's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact, the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to Scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the Scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interests, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of tough things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he did it anyway. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Before I get to the trivia question, I love that when they have a play, like we just had that play in the filler, and everything in that filler right there, you could just take back to that very last segment I just taught on. It's so cool when that happens. I think every once in a while, the Lord allows that for me, you know, because it's like, wow. That's just cool, you know? I mean, there it's just right there. And then she's in town, and it's just fantastic. All right. Trivia question. Then I have a joke. By the way, I'm going to tell you now, and how often do I do this? I mean, T will testify. I hardly ever do this. I have a – it's really funny. It's tomorrow I'm going to do Bible people and popular songs. Bible people and popular songs. Now, keep in mind, those songs range from the 70s to 2000. So, as you know, a lot of years of songs there. Anyway, let's do our trivia question here. Here's the trivia question. What scheming princess of Tyre. What scheming princess of Tyre married and manipulated the weak Ahab and imposed her pagan religion on Israel? Ooh. See, not everybody's a cheerio, right? We're going through women and doing women in trivia, in our trivia today. This person, maybe not that great. Yes, that would be the response. What scheming princess of Tyre married and manipulated the weak Ahab and imposed her pagan religion on Israel? Ugh. That doesn't sound good. If you think you know the answer, you can call in at 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. We got somebody already calling in, so we'll probably respond. I don't know if respondamundo is a word. Could be, but here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, good afternoon. This is Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. I'm still laughing from that thing that happened yesterday when you called in for Deborah. That
no
is
doubt.
That is so funny. Okay, so this is a great question. This really is, it's kind of sad by itself, but what scheming princess of Tyre married and manipulated the weak Ahab and imposed her pagan religion on Israel?
Was it Jezebel?
That is correct! You are right! And her reputation, so you know, in the New Testament, it's brought up again that a person operating in the spirit of Jezebel. But really, if you think about it from a sociological point of view, when people get really mad at a woman who's really bad and kind of over, not just flirtatious, but you know, ruins marriages and da 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 da, they say that's Jezebel. I mean, that's what they say.
Yes.
So it's like a byword. It's like, wow, nice job, way to get a great reputation going. Anyhow, excellent
all right,
job.
Well, y'all have a good day.
Thanks, Deborah. God bless.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye. All right, great job. Great job. Great job. I do want to point out that Al said Mrs. Ahab. That's not going to count, Al. That was funny though. All right. Sticking with this Peter theme, I just want to go into this. This is a really interesting element, and then we've got Pastor Ray's thing, and then I got another Peter thing. So we got all these different elements that we're using in 1 Peter 1 today. This is what it says. To obtain an inheritance, have you ever inherited anything? It's awesome if it's a good inheritance, right? To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected, that's the you, by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last in the last time. And then we're going to explain that in a second. In this you greatly rejoice. You what? You greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. I love taking a passage like this and just pulling it up and down. Okay, first thing, we get to obtain an inheritance. Now, an inheritance is good if it's there. In other words, let's say you inherit stock in Blockbuster. Okay, Blockbuster's out of business. Your stock is worthless. You understand how that works? Whoops. Okay, I'm just trying to give you a quickie, not going into deep financials here. So we have an inheritance that's imperishable and undefiled and will not fade. In other words, our inheritance that we have in heaven, it doesn't even lose any of its shine. You know how it was a shiny little thing when we first started off? It's still shiny the exact same way, and it will never perish, and it's reserved in heaven for you. If you understand what reserved in heaven means, just make a reservation at a popular restaurant. When you go to the restaurant, they seat you because you have a reservation. Well, you have a reservation in heaven, and it's all set for you. You who are protected by the power of God. And isn't that good to be protected by the power of God instead of the power of the world or by the power even of the government? The government's like, we're like the best friend you'll ever have. The government is a little g. God is a big G. Never forget that. Okay? Never forget that. Render unto Caesar's the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God. Right? God's, right? Okay. So you're protected by the power of God through faith. Watch this. For us, through faith. What's it? Through faith. So it's given by grace, received through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And so this gives people, well, see, we're not saved. There's a salvation ready to be revealed. I should get a buzzer. I mean, it's cheap to do it the way I do it, but nope. The salvation ready to be revealed in the last time is the glorification part of your salvation. Salvation is in three parts: justification, sanctification, and glorification. Justification is your position. Sanctification is your the practice of what's going on, and then glorification will be your freedom from sin's presence. So you have, you're presented as whole, justified, clean. In justification, you are saved, past tense. Sanctification, you are made to look like Jesus, present tense. Glorification, we will be free from the presence of evil, sin, darkness, and all bad things, and that will be glorification. Salvation has three elements. If you would learn that, I know you're going to get mad at me, and even though I'm doing my PhD doctorate material, if you learn that, you would skip about 3.5 years of Bible college. Just right there. Salvation is in three tenses: justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification, you were made right with Christ. Sanctification, you're made to look like Christ. And glorification, you'll be right next to Christ. That's all you got to remember. Free from the penalty of sin, free from the power of sin, and then free from the presence of sin. That's what I was trying to remember. The penalty of sin is justification. The power of sin is sanctification, which means you don't have to sin. And the presence of sin will be glorification. That's the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Just remember that, and you will read 100 more scriptures going, aha, aha. That's what I did my master's on, by the way. In this, you greatly rejoice. What do you greatly rejoice in? That there's a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time, that you get to dance on streets of gold. That's what you rejoice in. Not you get to rejoice because people you don't like fall, or people in God's church don't live up to things and lose their reputations, or any of that stuff. Your rejoicing is in the salvation that's going to be revealed in the last time. Yay! That's what you're happy about. And then it says, even though for a little while, how long? A little while. If necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. The word distress is lupeo, and it means to be affected with sadness, to cause grief, to throw into sorrow by trials. Even if it's for a little while, you got to go through it. And by the way, it says if necessary. Who's the if necessary determiner? God. You're thinking, that can't be right. God can't think it's necessary for me to go through a trial. Really? So it was okay for Jesus to go into the wilderness to be tested, and it was okay for Abraham to be tested, but not you. Okay, I'm just checking. I just want to make sure that I understand what's going on there. So it says, even if you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, for how long? Little while. Well, David, seems like it's lasting 15, 20, 25 years. But I don't know how long does that compare to eternity. Will your first million years pretty much dwarf a 10-year trial? Pretty much. Even though for now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. You've kind of had grief. You've had sadness. There's no question this stuff takes place. That's why you'll hear me say on a regular basis, this is not name it and claim it. And I know there's some people that really – I had somebody write me a letter. They were so mad at me because I wouldn't say name it and claim it. Like, okay. And I said, God bless you. It's like, I'm not going to ever. Here, look it. You want to be like Jesus? What did Jesus go through? What did Jesus go through? It's not, you know, complex. What did he go through? He went through the crucifixion. And then he went through being crucified, death. And then he rose from the grave. And he did that because of the joy that was set before him. You want to be like Jesus? Okay. You prayed it. Let's see it. I want to be like you, Jesus. Okay. See, that's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. I kind of am a jerk about it when I wrote my book because I said, well, you prayed it. So the point is the Lord is making you like Jesus. And that's where some of these things go in. And the better you do and the more you rely on him and the better you understand where your real power and hope come from in the eternal salvation that's going to be revealed, the stronger you are, the better you get through your trial, and the less impact these things have on you. It's like walking hand in hand with Jesus. If you went through that trial and he was next to you, how would you feel? He is next to you. That's the whole point. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually having a wonderful day. And, you know, every once in a while you get some extra time in with the Lord and you just think, man, I can't wait to hear that trumpet. I just can't wait.
Yeah.
I just
right.
Can't
right.
wait.
What's going on? Huh? But yep. You want to know the answer to that,
I
guess.
I do. And so this is a good one. How many times did the boy who Elijah raised from the dead, how many times did he sneeze?
Seven.
That is correct, sir. You are right. A little unknown fact from a lot of people that they might not be aware of is that actually so after Elisha stretched himself out, the child sneezed seven times, and then the child opened his eyes, which means that he sneezed those seven times without his eyes open, which is like, wow, that's bizarre. It's like, how do you do that?
I just thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's like, how would you do, I mean, how do you sneeze, I mean,
my eyes go in the back of my head when I sneeze. I just don't know how that happens.
Didn't he lie prostrate across
yes,
him?
Yes, correct. That is exactly what he did.
I thought, okay, if he was sneezing, was he sneezing in Elijah's face?
That's an excellent question. I do not have that answer, but you have to sit there and wonder.
To find that one out, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the prophets went through a lot, although it that could be a tough one. Excellent job, my friend. Excellent answer. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you as well.
All right.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We roll. That's a great question. Did he sneeze in his face? Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So I did forget to do the joke. I'm not going to be doing the joke today that I was going to do today. I'm going to do that joke on Wednesday, or on Friday, and then tomorrow I'm going to do the people and then the popular songs. But I do have one riddle for you. I'll just throw it out, and I'm only going to wait about 1 second. But don't freak out. Pretty simple one. Let's see if I can get this correctly. How many animals could Noah put into an empty ark? How many animals could Noah put into an empty ark? It's not your trivia question. Just a quickie. How many animals could Noah put into an empty ark? Ready? The answer is one, because after that, the ark would not be empty. See? Aha! That's a riddle.
Whoa!
That's good. Good. I can't believe you did that. Whoa! All right, here we go. Here's your trivia question. All right, I got to put that away. What dancer so enchanted Herod that he offered her anything she wished? What dancer so enchanted Herod that he offered her anything she wished? If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Now think about what the question is. This is my nicest way of telling somebody who answered that you got to rethink that. What dancer so enchanted Herod that he offered her anything she wished? Okay, in the meantime, let's not forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, now I got to do this real quickly because our time is tight enough, so I got to do this correctly. The riddle, how many animals did Noah bring into the empty ark? It could only be one animal, even they brought him in two by two. Only one animal, because they couldn't both come in at the same time. And then as soon as one animal was in there, the ark wasn't empty. Okay, so that's just clarification for some people who are like going, I don't get it. Okay, then, again, very important question. Listen to what's being, good catch. The question was, what dancer so enchanted Herod that he offered her anything she wished? Who's the dancer? Who's the dancer? 972-445-0770 is the call-in number. And then the text, 214-210-8483. We're always helping people. That's what we do. history? History. Let's do history. History.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
Okay, a couple things to share with you on history. Not a huge history day per se. Today is Sing Out Day. I don't know what that means other than I guess everybody's singing. Which would explain what it means when it says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. National Brown Baguette Day, which means bring your own food, I suppose. And then this one, lost on me. I did actually see this movie, ironically, but not much to say about it. National Tap Dance Day. I did see the movie Tap. I don't know if anybody saw that with Gregory Hines. Long, long, long time ago. Yep, that's all right. 1935, Jesse Owens sets or ties four. How many? Four track and field world records in a span of 45 minutes. That's unbelievable. In 45 minutes, he ties or sets 4 world records. It's incredible. 1935, on this day, Babe Ruth hit his 714th home run. 1977, the movie Star Wars was released. I actually saw this on May 26th. 1977, before I was a Christian, I was not in my sober-minded state, and so when I saw it, I had to go see it again the following week because I didn't remember anything from it the first time. Just kind of telling that. And in 1986, Hands Across America. A lot of people remember Hands Across America. A lot of people would like to try and forget Hands Across America. You ever heard about that, Hands Across America? You know what?
I've never heard of it.
You're not? You're not missing a thing. You know, it's like a searing poke in the eye. It's like, just forget it. You don't even want to know. All right. On this portion here, I want to use something from Pastor Ray. He's my buddy, and I love his material. And I'm just going to share it with you. We're just going to kind of go over the whole process here. So just listen to what I'm saying. Just kind of follow me just for a second. So it's not overly complex, but it is essential in its importance. Here's what he wrote, how to connect. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. How wide is it? Oh, folks, it's east to west. How long? Eternity. How high? Connects heaven and earth. How deep? It goes to the very essence of your soul. Here's the passage again. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of Christ. The importance of friends, the need to have friends in Jesus' name, strengthens our faith and just makes life better. It also builds the unity of the church. Sometimes it's hard to make these connections. Pastor Ray says, I have some suggestions. Choose to belong to this family. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're a part of God's family. Choose to be involved, to make a commitment to other believers. I know it can be hard, and we are often afraid of commitment. Church is not just an organization that gets good things done. The heart of the church is to be a family where we can bless, encourage, exhort, and teach one another. Well, well written there. He writes this, make friends for the purpose of sharing your spiritual journey together with God's holy people is what the scripture says above. Together we learn, we pray, we weep, we rejoice as we help each other understand the depth of God's love. Do your part in God's family. Everyone has a role to play. Everyone has gifts that they can share. That's how families work. Don't be intimidated by that. Your skills or talents are as important and needed as anyone's. Church members are not consumers. We're part of a community, a family. The level of strength of unity increases when we share the duties together. Be devoted. This is Ray talking. I recently told my church I will stand with you, committed and devoted no matter what. As brothers and sisters, we cannot be tearing down, accusing, and criticizing. Jesus promised, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In unity, we are devoted to Jesus and his church in a divine commitment and an answer to his prayer for us that they would all be one. Here's the thing that I love about this material. So I want to make sure you understand what's going on here. I have come out of a place in my own life where I was church burned. Okay? By that, I mean I went through a horrible church experience. How bad? You can't get a whole lot worse than some of the church experience I went through. The worst of it is when you get to the Jim Jones level. Okay, that's when you get there, or when you get to the Waco situation. In our situation, I was physically attacked in a courtroom in front of a judge,
which was probably not a brilliant move on that person's part. I was involved in what I call a Christian cult that had Christian themes to it. There were Christian truths taught into it. The Bible was at the center, but it was also how they used and abused the Bible. And I went through that journey and thought, amazing. I thought, that is not what God had in mind. And I learned about church from an opposite teaching in the beginning of my faith. I went through so much bad material. I'll tell you how bad it was. I had a session with the pastor. I'm just sharing this with you real quickly. And I shared some of my biggest struggles and asked him to pray with me. And he did. And then when I didn't give the right amount, he brought me up in front of the church, sat me down on a chair, sat next to me, and then shared with everybody what I had shared in my personal time with him. That's the kind of stuff we went through. And it was continual. It was never ending. You had to have approval for your jobs. You had to, and you think, well, why didn't you just leave? We didn't know. We didn't know what was a good church and what wasn't a good church. Even through all of that, even through all of that stuff, even then I knew the church of God, his church, is fantastic. This is just a bad mark on it. So even if you've been burned in a church, I understand. I mean, more than you could ever know. But the answer to that is not to quit. Find a church family. Make a connection. Be in fellowship. There is no lone wolf McQuaids in the church. There is no lone ranger in the kingdom of God. You're a part of a family. Same father, blood relatives drinking from the same fountain. Get that? So, Ray's admonition, very strong. Okay, trivia. Oh, you want to know the name of the alpha cult? That, I'll have to tell you the whole story. The Lord helped me use it to bring it down and to end it. So it no longer exists. Oh, I could tell you so many things, you'd be freaking out. And you'd literally, they're long gone. This was in Phoenix, Arizona. All right, the answer to the trivia question, who was the dancer? It was the daughter of Herodias, known to us from the writings of Josephus as Salome, though her name does not appear in the Bible. So we're not 100% sure that's right, but odds are pretty good. It was the daughter of Herodias. All right, we're going to take our break and come back. We are certainly not done. You are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian Station. Here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, he reached down and saved me.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. Apparently now, being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to make sure I got to do this. This is one of the things I need to do. First, I want to give props to Joanne and Cordelia, who actually gave the same answer. I didn't even see your guys' answer until I read it, but I read mine out of a book. They did a great job saying Josephus says that it was Salome, and she was the daughter of Herodias. Great job, ladies. That is good historical information, though not in the Bible. It is historical information. That's number one. Number two, I will share more about that story in regards to what happened to me down the road as the closer we all become, the more I can share. I wrote a book about it. It's not in publish anymore. Only one person in the entire state of Texas has that book, and there's only a few copies. And the reason is because I did a quick check on it like 2 weeks ago, now that I've kind of moved into the doctorate level, and there was 1,991 mistakes in my book. So I'd prefer not to release that, okay? That's called a D. All right, so I'm not doing that. But I will share more and more. The church no longer functions. I don't even want to give you all the stories, just unbelievable stuff. But sufficient to say that the Lord brought everybody out of that church literally two by two until there was no one left. And then the Lord had somebody take the property. It was just unbelievable. Talk about it down the road. Okay, and I don't want anybody to think this is me, like, glorifying myself or something. This was like the worst, hardest, most difficult time ever, but I didn't think that it was really – I was mad at God, but I didn't necessarily think it was God's fault that this church was this way. That's a whole story that we'll have to get into that some other time. But I just don't want you to think I'm trying to, you know, take some glory for it. I did a lot of terrible things at that church that I've never forgiven myself for, even though I know the Lord's forgiven me. So, you know, you're kind of the good and the bad, the yin and the yang, I guess. Although we don't want to say yin and yang on a Christian radio show. Okay. After Eve, who was the first woman mentioned in the Bible? Ha! Thought I'd give you an easy one, didn't you? Wrong. After Eve, who was the first woman mentioned in the Bible? I will give you this one and only hint, Genesis 4. Okay, that's fair enough. If you want to, 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Look at Genesis 4. If you can't look at it, just wait for the answer. It's the best you can do. Let's do a Greek word. Now, everybody knows that has nothing to do with anything. It's just a Greek sound. People say, is that spiritual? No. It's Greek, right? You like that, though, right? You like that more than the Hebrew one, right?
Yeah, I love it. Like, it's so cute.
It's got a nice little tone to it. And the Hava Nagila one, though, I grew up with that. I mean, I was one when they were singing, you know. Okay. All right. John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Our key word here is scriptures. Scriptures. And the Greek word is, ready? Graphe. Graphe. From where we get the word graph or graphic
or biography. See, that's kind of a fascinating thing. An autograph. A document, anything written, holy writ, the scriptures. Graphy points to the divine author with the idea that this is written, that what is written remains forever identified as the living voice of God. Some scholars restrict graphy to the Old Testament. Other scholars do not. Okay? I'm just going to kind of leave it there. I'm not going to give you anything more. It's not the time for the debate on that. Again, Eve, after Eve, who was the first woman mentioned in the Bible? Your answer is going to be in Genesis chapter 4. Okay, Genesis chapter 4. Somebody calling in, so we're going to see if they know. I hope nobody gets mad at me when I give the answer. You're not allowed to get mad at me. Well, you're allowed to get mad at me. You just can't stay mad at me. How about that? You can get mad, but you can't let the sun go down upon your anger. Okay? Just can't stay mad. Okay, we got somebody that is ready? Yes? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ken again.
Hey, Ken. You ready for this one?
Yep.
Okay, fire away. Who is the second person? After Eve, what's the first woman mentioned in the Bible?
Was it Ada or Zilla?
Yeah, no, Ada. That's exactly right. Good job. Ada, that is right, is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 19. And it says that he had two wives. Lamech had two wives. The name of one was Ada. The name of the second was Zilla. That is exactly it. Good job, bro.
I'm just lucky today.
Yeah, that's right. That's okay. Best to be blessed in it. Why not?
I'm on a roll.
That's right. Your name is on the roll. Your feet are on the rock, and your name is on the roll. There you go.
Awesome.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was fun. Love stuff like that. By the way, that big twang you hit was me moving my Bible and then hitting my microphone. It goes bang. It's probably louder in my ears than it is to you guys, but it's a pretty good thud in my head. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. I had a neighbor down the street when I lived in Southfield, Michigan, in Catalina. Her name was Ada. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We already talked about that, the three tenses of salvation. I'm not going to cover that again, okay? But here's what I want you to kind of catch with me or walk with me in, okay? Prepare your minds. I can tell you right now, without being overly theological, that between your left and right ear is the greatest amount of spiritual warfare that you could even imagine. In fact, some authors, don't get mad. You just listen to what other people say. You don't have to always agree with it, but listen. Some authors think that in a sense, it's an Armageddon for every person because it's all the powers on the left and all the powers on the right in the sense of on one side is the kingdom of darkness, on the other side is the kingdom of light, and they're fighting in your mind, and every decision you make gives territory to one kingdom or another. It's a good theory. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, thinking in those ways. Here's what you need to be aware of. The Bible is very clear about what comes into our brain, what comes into our mind. Now, if you want to get into the technical, well, the mind is the heart and the heart is the brain. Okay, for this conversation, brain all the thinking, heart all the feeling. Okay, just making it easy. What goes in your brain is the lies, and what also goes in your brain is the truth. And you need, and I need to prepare our minds for action by picking the truth. How do you prepare for action? How do you prepare to take action? You train. How do you train in regards to preparing your mind? You read the Bible, which is the word of God, which is the truth. And that way, when a lie comes, you go, ding, ding, ding. That's not right. The truth says this. As mentioned before, the way that people learn about how to tell what's counterfeit and what's not doesn't have as much to do with learning the counterfeit material. It has much more to do with learning the actual genuine bill. If you know exactly what the real thing is, when something false emerges, you can pick it out in a moment. Nope, that's not right, because the real one would have this. That's how we ought to be operating, having our minds prepared for action, being sober in spirit, and that's just sober in spirit, just what it says, in your spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace that's coming towards us, which has got to do with all the great hope that we have has got to do with the Lord's return. And hope means a better tomorrow. Today even might be good, but tomorrow could be better. And if Jesus is in it, it's better. Our focus has got to be more on the second coming of Jesus Christ than we are giving credit to. Not that you get so caught up in the second coming of Christ that you lose the reality that God is making you look like Jesus Christ, not to that effect, but you hold it as the joy that is set before you so that you can endure your cross and you can ignore or get past your pain. Just like Jesus did when he did the exact same thing in enduring the cross and despising the shame and got through his pain by keeping his fixed vision on the joy that was set before him. We're just supposed to do that. Let's just do that. There's a better world coming. There's a better kingdom coming. And I would like to say, I love this line. I read this in a theology book, and I'm going to use it. It's just fantastic. Jesus is going to make it. I've already said it. Jesus is going to make another splash on planet Earth.
That's so good. That's such a great line.
He sure is. And when he comes, it's over. And yeah, there's the part of you that will be that just wants you to be able to turn to the person next to you and go, see, you know, because everybody wants to do that. But when he comes, it won't be like that. We won't care like that. We'll be past the flesh. Okay? But we need to have our hope fixed on the return of Jesus Christ, and we need to have our mind prepared for action. So between now and that return, you need to know the truth. I need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. We need to know it personally and corporately so that when the lies come inwardly, outwardly, from the world, wherever, we can just go, that's a lie. And who's the father of lies? Jesus made it clear. Satan is the father of lies. Okay? There you go. All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Thanks a lot for all the blessing that you give me.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.